The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Renee Powers here, and I am so excited to be sitting down again with Natalia. Hola, Natalia.
Hello, Renee. ¿Cómo estás?
Está bien.
Estoy. You know what?
I fucked it up already.
A language podcast.
I like to say I speak Spantalian because I took Spanish in high school, Italian through college, and it's all a big mess in my brain now.
What are languages if not dynamic? That is how we're going to approach it.
I love this. Well, today we are not talking about languages. We are talking about super niche books and genres, because when we recorded our Best of 2021 episode, which was a blast, go back and listen to it and, you know, weep for your TBR because there are so many great recommendations.
Amen.
I talked about a couple of like very niche genres that are like catnip for me. And I was like, this would make a really good full episode. And I know you have very specific interests as well.
That is such a nice way to put it. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Thank you so, yes, I do have weird ass specific interests. And you can chart my growth as a person through these interests, I think. But I'm jumping ahead. I'm getting ahead of myself.
So,
tell me what your, do you have like a list? Do you just, do you want to riff back and forth? Like what, how, let's talk about it. Cause I'm very excited to hear what you have to say.
Okay. So,
and I'm very horrified for you to hear what I have to say.
I want to start with what, okay. So I have four very specific genres that I have found. If it hits these boxes, I'm probably going to like this book. All right. So I'll share with you the first one that inspired this whole thing that I mentioned on that previous episode is Asian American novels set in early US history. So I used to say Asian Americans in like the Wild West, but I have only found two of those books. And I wanted to add a couple others. So the ones that are set in like the Wild Wild West are How Much of These Hills is Gold by C. Pam Zhang, which I absolutely love. One of my all-time favorite books.
Definitely want a copy of that book. I should probably get it.
It's also
beautiful.
I may have
said that's a separate question. I have so many books.
Also Four Treasures of the Sky by Jenny Tinkley Zan. Also Asian American in the Wild West. It's like, this was a thing I didn't know I needed in my life, a story I didn't know I would find so refreshing and interesting and like wonderful until I read these two books. But if we're going to expand it to just kind of earlier US history, I'm going to add Diamond Head by Cecily Wong, which is about Chinese immigrants to Hawaii. It is a multi-generational family saga, takes place in Hawaii and kind of the colonization of Hawaii and all those things. But
is that what got turned into a movie? Or am I thinking about something else? I may be thinking about something else. All right, never mind. Sorry, ignore me. Go on.
We had the author on the podcast a couple of years ago. So I'll link to that in the show notes, but it's called Diamond Head by Cecily Wong. And then I just finished Siren Queen by Nevo, which comes out later this year. It's like if Evelyn, the Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, had a baby with Mexican Gothic with a Chinese immigrant in Hollywood at the center of the story, it would be this book, because it's like there's some fantasy elements, there's some, it's old Hollywood, it's kind of fucked up, but like in a great, interesting way. Nhi Vo is a Vietnamese author who writes a lot of fantasy and sci-fi. And this one, and in the way that like that Silvia Moreno Garcia writes fantasy and sci-fi, like it's kind of rooted in the real world, but there are these elements that you aren't expecting, but they totally work.
Yeah, it's like a magical realism baby.
Yeah.
Or cousin, if you will.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe that's, I don't know. Just a real quick thought. We should not be in charge of coming up with a new, like a replacement for the Dewey Decimal System. Just thinking about that. We probably shouldn't be the ones to do it because we'll be like, hey, there's a section for if X book had a baby with X book, but it was set in X place.
Which is my favorite way to describe books. If Evelyn Hugo had a baby with Mexican Gothic,
nobody would know what we were talking about. We're like, no, but it makes total sense. So we should probably take that off of our list.
We shouldn't do with our lives.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But somebody needs to revamp the Dewey Decimal System. I'm not gonna throw my
podcast episode coming about the Dewey Decimal System. Fuck that guy. But that's not, again, the purpose of this particular episode.
So my very small section of the library that you will find me, again, Asian American voices in early U.S. history, some novel fiction about these things. That is my first very specific genre that inspired this whole episode.
I really continue to love that so much. So I'm going to counter with my only, I think, specific genre per se. So I have never been chill in my life ever. And I don't know why. I feel like I'm so chill. I'm not. And so I have amassed, and totally without noticing, without really seeing it, but I have amassed this like self-directed master's course on crafting and feminism. However, it is very specific to fiber arts crafting, and it is pre-introduction of polyester or any synthetic fabrics. And the books are like, oh gosh, I didn't think we were going to list the names, so that's my bad. But I've got books that are, you know, an example is some examples of my book collection.
For your pre-polyester feminist crafting self-directed masters.
Correct. So I've got The Pocket, A Hidden History of Women's Lives by Barbara Berman and Ariane Penitow, The Fabric of Civilization, The Threads of Life, The Golden Thread, How Fabric Changed History, The Power of Knitting, which I recorded a podcast episode about, and The Subversive Stitch, Embroidering in the Making of the Feminine. And I'm out of breath because I literally ran to my bookshelf and pulled all of these books off. Now, these are just the books that I own. This does not consider every other book that I have read about this particular genre. And I'm not embarrassed about this at all. I would like to have you know, I think it's a great collection of books. But anyways, I definitely got into it in response to fashion and criticisms of fashion as it's, oh, is fashion feminist? Is fashion this? Is fashion that? And it just seemed to me like the better question is, well, where does fashion come from? Hence all of these books.
Mm-hmm.
So I can link to a few in the show notes, but yeah, guys, it's a whole shelf on my bookshelf.
I love that. I think this is so cool. And the perfect combo of your interests and my interests, I sent you a book. It should be arriving any day now. I think we should buddy read it. It is called Hooked, How Crafting Saved My Life by Sutton Foster.
I'm very excited.
So stay tuned for our breakdown of this. Sutton Foster is one of my favorite Broadway actresses. She's also on the show Younger, and I think Bunheads, maybe? I don't know. She's my Millie. I love her in Thoroughly Modern Millie. Anyways, big Broadway artist.
I didn't have to ask Renee who Sutton Foster was. It's totally so that's fine. Just who I am as a person. But if she really needed some information on fabrics, I can tell you that it takes 12 recycled bottles to make a fleece vest.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually fewer than I thought.
It's still more than I anticipated for some reason.
It still sucks.
Yeah. I thought it would be like a better ROI, but alas, it is not.
Your water bottle to fleece vest ROI is not what you anticipated.
Listen, I don't need to talk about this anymore.
All right. I'm moving on to my next hyper specific genre. And this is my only nonfiction, because I know that you are the nonfiction queen. So
I really do love me some nonfiction.
But my hyper specific genre nonfiction is investigative journalism, ? We're going to call it investigative journalism. Okay. Investigative journalism, where the author inserts themselves into the story.
Ooh. Is this We Keep the Dead Close?
Yes. Okay. So that is on my list. We Keep the Dead Close by Becky Cooper. One of our, previous books of the month that I have said is one of my favorite books. Excellent. And a couple of my other favorite books that I talk about all the time, Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow, Bad Blood by John Carreyrou, which I will say he doesn't insert himself until like near the very end. And it's really tasteful and really well done. She Said, Jodi Kantor and Megan Toohey, again about the Harvey Weinstein Me Too movement. But I'm also going to throw in, and this is where I'm like, investigative journalism, ? Because I don't think this is investigative journalism. My Friend Anna by Rachel Deloach Williams, about Anna Delvey. So this is her memoir about Anna Delvey, who is a massive con artist who basically conned all of socialite New York City and the art world. This was her friend who didn't realize that she was being conned.
Oh, shit.
For years. And so she wrote a book about it and testified at her trial, and clearly not the best of friends anymore. But so that's why I'm like, it's not technically journalism, because she didn't like break the story. She's the one that set Anna up to be arrested, but but she's not a journalist. If that makes sense. Anyways, but central to the story.
I would argue that if you're telling a story, aren't you a journalist?
I mean,
I don't know.
That's a conversation for another day.
Like, what even is a journalist? Okay, so next on my list, I'm not going to get these from the bookshelf because it's embarrassing. So I was a political science undergrad. Shout out to everybody who thought they were going to law school in the early 2000s, but then didn't because of the Great Recession. And my concentration was Latin American politics, really comparative government and international relations, but I stayed focused on Latin America because I am a stereotype, I suppose. And I have amassed throughout the degree a collection of books on bananas. You can't laugh like that, bro. Like, come on, give me a second. So when you look, I can't even take myself seriously. When you look at the history of US policy in Latin America and the history of the banana as a cultivar and as an exported product, the two are stupidly intertwined. And so as like recommended readings in a lot of my courses, there were these books on bananas, and I would buy them all because I didn't know that recommended readings weren't really like required. Anyways, I ended up, listen, I was young. I was a first gen college student.
You're an overachiever by heart. We all know that you are Amy Santiago. It's fine.
But I bought the books, and now I have like 7 books on the history of the banana and how it impacted Latin America and the United States, and then like the repercussions, the long-term repercussions of those actions. And that is great. There's this, I will recommend one book from my list, which I actually stole from my sister-in-law. Shout out to Anya, who maybe doesn't know that I stole it. who maybe doesn't know that I stole it, but we're here and we're going to own that. It's called From Bananas to Buttocks. Which, what a great title. The Latina Body in Popular Film and Culture. And it's a 2007 collection of nonfiction essays that was edited by Myra Mendible. And it, unlike my other books, it really focuses on the fetishization of the Latina woman body and how we're depicted. And you think about the origin of the Chiquita Banana Girl, all of these popular film and TV depictions of what a woman should look like. And I thought it was just so thought-provoking in a way that I didn't anticipate for something that I stole because it just had the word bananas in the title.
Have I ever told you my award-winning sixth grade science project
was on bananas?
Was called What's Wrong With My Banana?
What was wrong with your banana?
It was oxidizing. And I tried different solutions to prevent oxidization, but
alas,
I got a second place ribbon. I forget what first place was, but that second place.
What's wrong with my banana? I love that. You know, every day I learn more about just us and how we're the same person.
Just a couple of weirdos. All right. Speaking of weirdos. My next hyper-specific genre, I don't know how to call this, but I'm just going to go for it. Fantasy series with women protagonists inspired by not colonial histories. So.
Well, I love that genre.
I know you do.
Fucking love. I have a ton of books that fit that mold. Oh. Tell me everything.
Okay, so obviously Black Sun by Rebecca Roanhorse just finished Fever Star, the next one in the series. It's beautiful.
How is it? Oh.
Yes. The Poppy War, which Emma and I did a whole episode on, The Poppy War by R.F. Kuan. It talks about the Sino-Japanese War. Lobisona, which you know I also love. And Cazadora, which is the second, just finished that one too, by Romina Garber. Excellent, beautiful, inspired by Argentine folklore. Binti by Nnedi Okorafor. Can't go wrong with the Binti series. She Who Became the Sun by Shelley Parker Chan. Inspired by like Genghis Khan era China.
Oh my God,
Certain
that's
Dark
so
Things by, again, Queen Sylvia Morena Garcia. I also think that Sylvia Morena Garcia should also just be one of my hyper specific genres. I will read anything that woman writes.
You and Nina both. Nina wrote a whole blog. I was going to say blog episode, but the word eludes me. A blog post that was a love letter to Sylvia Morena Garcia. And the entire time I was just like, yep, this is accurate. Yep. This is also why I love her. Can I add to your list Where the Wild Women Are by Oko Matsuda, which was on my list of books from, I think, one of my best. Oh, no, it wasn't.
One of your best of.
I think so. Japanese folklore inspired.
Oh, see, I love
Children
that.
Of Blood and Bone and Children of
oh,
Vengeance.
Oh, yes, by Tomi Adeyemi.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I don't know. I think that's inspired by West African folklore.
I want to say Nigerian. I want to say that Tomi Adeyemi is Nigerian, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah, we could be wrong on that. Don't quote us on that, people. Right. But definitely that. I also, Alatsoe.
Which Darcy Little Badger.
Yes, and she came out with a new book, which I have not yet read, but she's one of my auto-buy authors for sure. Like, I don't care what she writes. I'm definitely going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, we're the same genre.
Heck yeah.
I love that. Okay.
That's why authors would be a really good podcast episode too.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I don't have many. I don't trust a lot of authors to not break my heart. I know. Isn't that weird?
Interesting. Okay. Well, those are mine.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm calling that one. I would just want to repeat that genre. Fantasy series with woman protagonists inspired by not colonial histories.
Really anything we can do to get away
not
from
imperial, like I can't figure out like I started this with Western, but I crossed it out because Native America is Western, technically. And so is South America. So I couldn't figure out. So I just went with non-colonized stories. I don't know.
I think that's as specific as we're going to get for the purposes of this episode. And I'm sure there will be somebody out there who corrects us if we're not specific.
And please do.
That's how we grow.
Exactly.
That is how we grow. I do not have thick skin. I will cry, but I will still accept it. So here we are. So my last one is single topic books. Now, you may be asking yourself, Natalia, how is this different from your weird collection of banana books? Oh, dear listener, it is very different because these single topic books are not limited to the same topic, but it is a weird deep dive into one thing. So, for example, my books would be, you know, I have a book that is just about salt. I have a book that is just about olive oil, history, its use in like the world, that kind of thing. I have a book that's just about human skin. We're not going to really. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a single topic.
I have one that's just about glass. I have borrowed a stupid amount of books on materials, different materials. So concrete, tile, oh God, plastic. The plastic one though, not going to lie, that was actually super interesting. And so it was the concrete one, way more than I anticipated. I wish I could remember the books, but I can't. Anything that has chocolate. Oh, the chocolate books were really cool. That was a whole summer that I spent just reading and learning about chocolate from different perspectives. If there's somebody who's written a book about one topic, I'm gonna pick it up and just see what I can learn. I would also kind of count the big bad book. So like the big bad book of botany, I would count that because it's all about different kinds of plants. I would not count World of Wonders because it's too not nonfiction. So it's like a weird, and it's like a floating kind of divider. But yeah, so I'll have friends come over and they'll just be like, skin? Because that's the title of the book, by the way.
Of course it is. Skin. What else would you name it?
And I was like, it just seemed really cool on the shelf, guys. And it's like, oh, I have a book that's just about the history of race as a concept.
Yep.
That was, it was by this beautiful, beautiful historian. Her writing is just absolutely beautiful. And her name escapes me because everything escapes me.
That's okay.
I'll definitely put it in the show notes because it talks about how people have looked at race throughout the years. And it tied together threads that I just was not expecting. The Color of Law is also a really good book that I would add under that. And it's all about redlining and housing policies. And you're like, this is not going to be an interesting read, but it's fascinating. I have a book about addresses, only addresses.
Of course you do. That's brilliant.
So good. Anyways, if there's a deep dive, I'm gonna read it.
So basically, Mary Roach is your homegirl.
I have read every single one of Mary Roach's books at least twice, with the exception, the only one I couldn't do. There was a section on cannibalism that really grossed me out. And I think I have blocked the name of the book from the recesses of my mind.
Fair enough.
But I read it once, almost barfed, and then never read that book again. But like Grunt and Spook and War and, or not War, and Mission to Mars and all, I've read all of them.
Yeah. Packing for Mars was my first one and only one that I have read, but I deeply appreciated her approach to a deep dive into how are we getting ready to go to Mars? How are we in space? How are we doing space?
How go to space? How go? I think the next one, and I haven't found any books about it yet, but I'm very interested in kind of this idea of reading books about space suits and how they're made and the history behind them. Because from what I understand, there was like one company that made all of the spacesuits. They went out of business and now nobody can make a new spacesuit.
And it was all done by women. If I'm not mistaken, that one company had it had like one, it was like one head seamstress or something.
And did all of the hand stitching for all of the spacesuits. And now there's just like nobody else who can replicate her work, which is so fascinating on a lot of levels. And it ties in, again, my love of fabric and a singular topic, which in this case is a spacesuit. I have to find the books, but I think that's going to be my next deep dive.
I love it.
Yeah.
So
those are your super, listen, folks, we are here to listen about your super niche genres or your super niche topics or what books, you know, if they have these things, you're definitely going to read them because we could always stand to grow our horizons.
Can I tell you about one more?
Oh, yes. Sorry. I'm like ending the episode. My bad.
No, that's fine. But I have one more. And this one I think is, I saved it for last because I think it is the most specific. Thrillers with unlikable 20-something women in tech or startup spaces.
So I have a lot of questions for you on that one. What is it about tech or startup spaces that you think scratches this itch?
I think
it is, I just get nervous.
I think it's my PhD coursework was in communication technology with a focus on new media. And I was studying online communities and apps and privacy, and all of these things really come to a head in books like, let's see, which ones should I start with? I have a fuck ton. Self-Care by Lee Stein, The Assistants by Camille Perry, Smile and Look Pretty by Amanda Pellegrino, A Special Place for Women by Laura Hankin. These are all like app-driven or startup-driven, like, I don't know, like fast culture, high stakes, VC funding, lots to lose, and then something happens that threatens all of it, and it could all come tumbling down, and it's up to this one, like, central, unlikable, young 20-something woman to, like, figure it out. I don't know.
Hold on. I'm going to, I don't know why this one in particular fascinates me. I think it's because I get your Asian American theme. I get
Asian American and U.S. history.
Asian American and U.S. history. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Early U.S. history, like pre-1930s.
I'm going to go. It's been great. I get your other topics, but this one just really interests. So like, but they're unlikable. So do you like the fact that they are unlikable?
I like the fact that they make terrible choices.
That is fascinating.
So I'm always drawn to unlikable characters because I think they have a lot of nuance. I think they have a lot of complicated relationships and, you know, I don't know. I had this conversation with Lane Fargo on the podcast, who wrote Temper, which
he also wrote There Will Be None, which is a phenomenal book.
That's right. So she writes thrillers with unlikable female characters at the center. And
she's got the unlikable female, unlikable lady character podcast.
I think too. That's right. We will link those in the show notes. And we talked about what it is about unlikable characters that are so like engrossing, and it's just they're flawed, and that makes them more human and more relatable. And you can watch them do terrible things and make terrible decisions, and it feels safe because you're not the one making those decisions and living with those consequences. So I don't know, if I want to go on like a wild ass ride, this is the genre that I go to.
I really love that for you.
Thank you.
I think I'm going to actually look at your recommendations for this, because what if you're just like unlocking a new specific genre for me?
Right. I would also throw The Other Black Girl in there, which, you know, was one of my favorite books.
Yes. I was just like, as you were going through it, I'm thinking,
it's not an app. It's not necessarily a startup, but it is like a high stakes culture of publishing. Right. So,
which, boy, howdy, we all know, like, the more I learn about the publishing world, the more surprised I am, I guess, that it's so high stakes. Who would have, it's books, for God's sakes, but that is some serious business.
So that is my last one. thrillers with unlikable 20-something women in startup space.
I really love this. I mean, the only other thing that I have, and it doesn't really compare, and it wasn't something that I was originally thinking about talking about, was I have so many books on exploring Latin America through different lenses, right? Like, I've got one that's anarchism in Latin America, one that's A Talons of the Eagle, one that's, 1492. I mean, all of these books that are just kind of focused or really do a deep dive about Latin America. One of my favorites is by Felipe Ernesto something. And it's the story of the United States, but from the perspective of Latin American settlements. So when you think of colonization, it goes from, or the U.S. history, the way that we're taught it in school is that it goes from East Coast to West Coast. And in this book, it doesn't go that way. It goes from the Southwest out, up and out. And I really think that's cool.
All right. Well, listeners, audience, if you have suggestions for us in these very specific genres,
or any specific genre,
or I am very curious what your hyper specific genre that you will always read. If you have that, leave us a message, send us a DM. Where can we find you online, Natalia?
I run the Feminist Book Club Twitter account, which is always a delight. So you can definitely reach out to me there or on my Instagram at Stitchcraft, the letter N, wizardry. I love getting random messages from people. I shouldn't say that because now I'm going to get like bots, but I just really love when people, I can tell that they've listened to the podcast and they've sent me a message. It just warms my heart. It makes me feel so cool. And that's about it. Or you can find me on the blog. I'm always there, editing away.
Checking all the comments.
Checking all the
deleting comments. All the ones about Cialis. Why is that happening right now? I don't know.
About
Cialis. Like, is there really? Really?
Please stop. And it's always on my post that those comments are on. So like, are y'all trying to tell me something? But whatever. But where can people find you, my darling?
Well, I am the thumbs behind the Feminist Book Club Instagram account. You can find me there or my personal Instagram account, which is Belle Renee. And I will leave links to everything in the show notes. Thank you so much for tuning in today, Natalia. As always, it's a pleasure.
I love recording with you. Really do.
Sit tight for that buddy read of Hooked by Sutton Foster.
I'm so excited. Like, I'm literally giddy with anticipation. I fucking love getting new books in the mail.
Yay. All right. And if you love getting new books in the mail, check out our subscription box, feministbookclub.com/join. You can check out all our membership options.
Absolutely. Use code Natalia for 15% off. Like, you know what?
We're going.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to reach for it.
All right, everybody. Take care.
Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a